Please turn with me in your pew Bibles to Matthew 18. It can be found on page 852, and then it goes on to 853. Matthew chapter 18, we'll start with verse 21 and read through 35. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you besought me, and should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord delivered him to the jailers till he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart."
Several weeks ago, I saw on the internet the story of a mother in Iran whose son had been brutally murdered in a street brawl. The murderer was soon apprehended and tried and found guilty of the murder. And if you know anything about Iran, they don't play around there with their criminal justice system. When you are found guilty of murder, you are executed. And so this murderer was sentenced to be hanged in the public square. But in the meantime, the mother of the victim had a dream in which she dreamed that her murdered son had came to her and urged her to forgive the perpetrator because he was in a better place. So on the day of the execution, the perpetrator was brought out into the square, and it's on the internet, YouTube, if you want to see it. His hands were tied behind his back, and a black hood was placed over his head. The noose was then placed around his neck, and the mother of the victim came forward. In Iran, the victim's relatives participate in the execution by kicking the chair out from under the perpetrator. But the victim's mother didn't do that. Instead, she slapped the killer across the face and then publicly forgave him, at which point her husband cut him down, sparing him from the penalty of death. Forgiveness is such a rare event in our world that we are often arrested when we see it before us, as in this particular case. We don't live in a world of forgiveness, but we live in a world where we expect debts to be settled. But Jesus this morning is telling us something about the importance of forgiveness in the life of God's people. We can just imagine being moments away from breathing your last breath, the penalty for some horrendous deed that you've committed. Your victim is there But instead of demanding justice, instead of demanding that you get what you deserve, you are forgiven. Not only are you given a new lease on life, but you are given a new vision of life, a vision of mercy and grace, a vision that you are called to live out in your own life and to extend mercy and grace and forgiveness to others. That's the kind of vision that Jesus is giving in our text this morning. Last week, we talked a little bit about how we relate to those who are outside of the community of faith, those who would make themselves our enemies. We were reminded that we are to love our enemies. We are to pray for those who persecute us and bless those who curse us. That's part of what it means to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, Jesus is telling us how we ought to relate to one another as the body of Christ. And the operative word is forgiveness. We are called to be a community of forgiveness. We know that every Lord's Day we recite together the Lord's Prayer, in which we pray that our sins will be forgiven as we forgive those who sin against us. And so to be the people of God in the world, to be the community of God in the world, to be the family of God in the world, is to be a people who forgive. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness is essential to what it means to be the community of faith, the community that follows our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something that might shock you a little bit. In fact, many of you probably won't believe it when I tell you this, but even us church folks hurt each other from time to time. Sometimes we say hurtful things to one another. Sometimes we do hurtful things to one another. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. But there's a lot of hurt and pain that sometimes goes on, even within the walls of the church. And so therefore, forgiveness is essential if we are to live as God's people in the world and in the church. Forgiveness, of course, doesn't mean that we just shrug our shoulders and sweep things under the rug. It doesn't mean that we fail to hold people accountable for what they do. Sometimes that's the way we define forgiveness, is that we just sweep it under the rug and we don't hold people accountable for what they do. I've been following a little bit of that Ray Rice story. He's the football player who was caught on videotape physically abusing his fiancée, who would later become his wife. Obviously, there is a pattern of abuse there, and it would be irresponsible to tell a woman or anyone else that they are to forgive a person who abuses them without demanding some accountability and some change of heart. Real forgiveness acknowledges that something has happened between us. Real forgiveness acknowledges that there is hurt and pain and rage that goes along with the breach in relationship. Real forgiveness demands a change of heart and a measure of repentance. It just refuses to let what happened between us destroy our relationship and alienate us from God and from one another. And so real repentance requires change and accountability. Earlier in chapter 18, Jesus says that if a brother or a sister sins against us, that we are to go to them and confront them privately. And if that doesn't resolve the situation, then we are to go to them with two or three of the other members of the church. And if that still doesn't get to the bottom of the situation, then we are to go before the whole church, to bring the matter before the whole church. And if that doesn't work, then we are to banish the person from the faith community for the good of the whole body. But banishment from the community of the faithful cannot be the last word. Even after we've done all that, we must still be ready to forgive and to receive people back into the fellowship. And so we are called to be a forgiving people. Even in the midst where we must discipline members for their waywardness and the hurt that they bring upon others, even when we must sometimes banish people from the community of faith, we are called to be a forgiving community. Of course, forgiveness is never easy. If you are following Jesus because you think that it is easy, perhaps you need to reconsider your Christian vocation. A lot of what Jesus tells us to do is not easy. Loving our enemies is not easy. Turning the other cheek is not easy. Walking an extra mile is not easy. And forgiving people who hurt us and who have humiliated us, who have abused us and betrayed us, who have broken our hearts in some way, forgiving people is never easy. There are some wounds that just go too deep. There are some actions that are just too egregious. There are some betrayals that can just not be overlooked. There are some things which seem impossible for us to be able to forgive. I was reading recently about Samuel Wiesenthal. He's a young Jew who was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp during the Holocaust. He was once ordered by a nurse to go to a makeshift hospital for German soldiers who was wounded in the war. And he was taken to the bedside of a young German soldier who was gravely wounded and dying from his wounds. The young man and his fellow soldiers had committed egregious crimes against Jews of all ages, men, women, and children. And this young German soldier wanted to talk to a Jew before he died. And so Simon Wiesenthal was brought before him. And this young German soldier recounted all of the crimes that he had committed against the Jewish people, at one time locking hundreds of Jews up into a house and setting the house on fire. And when people tried to jump from the windows, they would shoot them. And he recalled one elderly man whose clothes was on fire jumping from the window with the baby cradled in his hand and the mother jumping too, all of them together. And he and his fellow soldiers took aim and murdered all of them. And this young soldier said, "I just need for someone, a Jew, to forgive me. I just need you to hear my story. I just need to make this confession to you and have you to forgive me. I know I'm asking a lot, but can you forgive me?" Wiesenthal listened to the young man's confession and then quietly left the room without forgiving. There are some things that are just too painful to forgive. There are some things that even for us are just too painful and difficult for us to forgive. But here's the deal. Jesus strongly indicates to us that unless we forgive, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless we are able to forgive those who have hurt us, unless we are able to forgive those who have betrayed us, unless we are able to forgive those who abuse us, we cannot make it into the kingdom of heaven. Not because God is some great big heavenly tyrant who is ready to get us and punish us because we don't forgive, but because God has given us a choice. God has placed before us a choice. We can either choose to live in a world that's about debt keeping. We can either choose to hold on to our resentments and our hurts and our pains. We can either choose to hold on to those areas of our hearts where we are mindful of those grievances that we have against others. Or we can accept God's invitation to enter into a whole new world, a world of forgiveness rather than a world of debt and scorekeeping, a world where we are called to embrace one another and to forgive one another instead of a world where we hold on to our resentments. Unfortunately, many people, like the unforgiving servant that we read about in our parable this morning, chooses to hold on to their debts instead of choosing to live into the grace and mercy of God. We hold on to our resentments and call in the debts that others owe to us. So how do we learn to forgive? How do we learn to forgive from our hearts? Well, Jesus tells us that one way we learn to forgive is through habit, by being a part of a community where we learn to forgive not just once, not just twice, not even seven times, but where we learn how to forgive again and again and again. We learn to forgive until forgiveness becomes something that is ingrained in us, something that is a part of us. I was living in Atlanta during the 1976 Summer Olympics when a bomb ripped through Centennial Park on July the 27th. Several people were injured from the blast, and one 44-year-old Alice Hawthorne would later die from her wounds. Eric Rudolph was later apprehended in North Carolina and charged with the crimes. And in a plea bargain, he confessed to the crimes and was sentenced to consecutive life terms in prison. Many of his victims attended the hearing, and a couple of them offered him forgiveness. One was 23-year-old Fallon Stubbs, the daughter of Alice Hawthorne, the slain woman. And through her tears, this young woman offered her forgiveness to Mr. Rudolph. She said, "I forgive you, not for my mother's sake, not even for my father's sake, but I forgive you for your sake." I'm sure she learned that not from the culture around her, but she learned that only from coming to a place like this. She learned that coming Sunday after Sunday, where she heard the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us." She learned that where she was encouraged time after time again to forgive those who had hurt her. And so on this moment of tragedy, when she looked her mother's killer in the eye, she was able to offer forgiveness. We too are called to offer forgiveness. The second way we learn to forgive with our hearts is by remembering. Remembering that forgiveness does not begin with us, but that it begins with God. It begins with God's offer of mercy and grace to all of us. Like the unforgiving servant in our parable this morning, we have all been forgiven of a huge debt. We have all been forgiven of something that we could never repay. We've all been forgiven of a death penalty that hung over all of our heads. We've been forgiven not because we deserved to be forgiven, but we were forgiven because of the grace and the mercy of God. And because we have been forgiven, we are called to go out into the world and to offer that forgiveness in return. We are to forgive those in the same way that God has forgiven each and every one of us. That's something that the unforgiving servant had forgotten. In his eagerness to resume his own life, he had ignored the forgiveness that was extended to him by the king, and instead, he chose to call in the debts, the meager debts of those who owed him. And so the king tells him, "You wicked servant, you wicked person, I forgave you so much. I forgave you of a debt that you could never repay. I forgave you of something that you owed me that was beyond your ability to even begin to pay back. And instead of going out and offering and bearing witness to this new world that I have offered you, you chose to go out and live in the old world. You chose to go out and to live in that world of debt keeping, that world of resentment, that world of grievances, that world of vengeance. You chose that world." And so the servant was sent away and banished and thrown into prison. We are called to be the community of God's people who know what it means to forgive. We are called to be the community of God's people who know what it means to be forgiven. We are called to be the community of God's people who know what it means to be loved so much that God has liberated us and set us free from a debt that we can never repay. And we are called to go out into the world and to live that liberation out by how we respond to others. I want to end this morning with another parable. Actually, it's a story taken from a movie, The Interpreter, which was a movie that came out in 2005. In the movie, a woman tells a story of a ritual of forgiveness called the Drowning Man's Trial. It was a ritual of forgiveness, supposedly, according to the movie, practiced in Africa. Whenever someone is murdered, the killer is tied up and thrown into the river to drown. And the family has a choice. They can either let the killer drown in the river and therefore be given the justice that is due them, but they will spend the rest of their lives in mourning, or they can choose to save the killer from drowning, thereby recognizing their common humanity. And when doing so, by saving the life of the killer, their act of saving will also begin to heal their grief. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about in our text this morning. That is what forgiveness is all about. It is about healing. It is about our own personal healing. It is about the healing of our communities, and relationships. It is about the healing of God's world. We are called this morning to be a community of healing, a community of forgiveness, a community of remembrance. Let us continue to pray that our hearts be free of the resentments that often plague us, and that we have the courage to forgive as God has forgiven each and every one of us. To the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for reminding us of who we are. We thank you for reminding us that you have called us to be a special kind of people, that you have called us to be a forgiving people. We ask, Lord, that in this world where there is so much vengeance, in this world where there is so much debt keeping, in this world where we hold on and are encouraged to hold on to our pain and brokenness, that you would give us the power to forgive. Help us to heal our own individual lives, and to be agents of healing, forgiveness, and reconciliation in your world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.